comfortable. Maybe for a lot of reasons. Maybe one reason is because it makes us feel like, wow, we have rather selfish lives here, don't we? And but Jesus talked a lot about persecution. It was all in the New Testament. And well, why don't we just kind of look? Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5. Jesus has just gathered his disciples. It's at the beginning of his ministry. He gives what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he gives the Beatitudes. And he ends with this. He says, blessed. By the way, what does it mean when you're blessed? God's favor is on you, right? His grace. We have joy. We have God smiling down upon us. So blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Now, people are saying things evil about you and insulting you because you're being a jerk. That's different. But if it's because of righteousness' sake, because of Jesus' sake, again, you are blessed. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Jesus is saying, listen, you're going to be blessed, and your reward in heaven is going to be great when you are persecuted. Matthew 10. Jesus has kind of gathered his disciples. He sends them out to preach, to teach, to minister. And let's start in verse 16. These are his instructions as they leave. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be as shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. What does it mean to scourge? To whip, right? And you'll even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Actually, that's one of the reasons for persecution. He takes us different places that maybe we wouldn't get to go otherwise. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you're to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you're to speak. For it's not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You'll be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who is endured to the end who will be saved. Okay, so Jesus says, listen, this is the way it's going to be when you go out and preach the gospel. You're going to be brought before people. You're going to be scourged. Some of you will even die. You can see why this is uncomfortable. Also, it's going to disrupt even families because of your following me. John 15. And by the way, we could talk a lot of places where Jesus, we could read a lot of passages where Jesus says this type of thing. This will be the last one in the Gospels. Okay, John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, okay, when we follow Christ, we're not of the world anymore. But I chose you out of the world. Because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. So Jesus told his disciples, this is part of the life that I've called you to. When we go into the rest of the New Testament, in the early church, do we see persecution? Yes. It's a story of persecution. Disciples went from city to city. Some were beaten and stoned. Actually, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, I was beaten so many times I don't even remember. 5 times I received 39 lashes from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And a little bit later, he died. Most of the New Testament books talk at least some about persecution or suffering for Jesus' sake. Actually, we could talk about this theme for weeks. When you get to the book of Revelation, when it talks about the end of ages, is there going to be persecution there? Yes, there will be. At the end of age, Christians everywhere will be persecuted. It'll be Satan's last attempt to destroy Christianity and the church. Many will die a martyr's death. But at the same time, the church is going to explode with growth. Okay? We look at church history. I'm a student of church history. All through the history up to now, Christians have been persecuted. They've died for their faith. They've been chased out of towns. They've been chased out of countries. And sometimes they've been chased out of town and killed by religious people who call themselves Christians. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This probably, Paul said it this way, and it probably sums up what the New Testament says about it. Verse 12. Indeed. By the way, what does the word indeed mean? It means surely, this is true. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It doesn't talk about any exceptions, brothers and sisters. It says all will be persecuted. Now, there's different levels of persecution. I want to kind of just talk about 2 main categories. On one level, people will despise us. They'll be offended at us. They will avoid us. They're going to push us around. They're going to talk evil about us. They're going to insult us. They're going to accuse us. That's what Jesus said. Because we live for Jesus. And I'm talking about even people who live in a country with religious freedom like us. Sometimes it'll be the ones closest to us. Jesus said that too. Family, friends, co-workers, teachers, fellow students, neighbors. It may come from religious people. Why does this happen? Because it will happen. It always has happened. Jesus says it will. That's because light, if we are living godly, the light of Jesus inside of us, and wherever we go, the light, what does it do to darkness? It exposes darkness. Now, there's going to be some people who are going to be drawn to that. They're going to come to know the Lord, but then there's others, and it's something supernatural. They just can't stand it because we're going to try to live godly lives. It will happen. Maybe it's not happening in your life now. But it's going to probably start, even like some of you who are in middle school. If you start living godly, there's going to be people who are going to make fun of you. And what are you going to do? You know, that's the question. And all through your life, if you're living for Jesus, people are going to be, they're going to be bothered by that. They're going to be annoyed by that. See, there's something spiritual going on. Because you know what? It doesn't happen with people who believe in other things. But if you believe in Jesus and Christianity, it's like Satan, the kingdom of darkness, is going to kind of throw everything against us. Like I said, it doesn't happen with anyone else. People who talk about, we need to be tolerant of people. I think that's a good thing. But when it comes to Christians, are they tolerant? No, it just drives them crazy. And it's just the way it's going to happen. You know, there is and always has been extreme intolerance for true Christianity. Now I'm talking about true Christianity, people who are trying to live according to the Scriptures. So, now, nobody likes to be persecuted. We all like to be liked, don't we? You know, especially Americans. You know, it's, hey, wait a minute, they're violating my rights. I'm for religious freedom. Well, that could be the law of the land, but on a personal level, you will get persecuted if you try to live godly. So what's going to be our response? Well, 1 Peter chapter 4 says, gives us some advice. He said, beloved, do not be surprised. You know, a lot of times we say, hey, someone doesn't like me and I'm loving. I'm trying to be joyful. Well, listen, get over it. There's going to be some people who are going to hate you. Jesus said that. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you, because Jesus told us it was going to happen. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. That should be our response. So that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled, that means if you are ridiculed, if you're mocked for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Jesus said that, right? Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Then he kind of says this, make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or like this one, a troublesome meddler. If you're a troublesome meddler and just kind of, you know, a gossip body or something, you may suffer. But that's not for Jesus' sake. Verse 16, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. We're to glorify Him. He's glorified when we're persecuted. That's part of your calling as a follower of Jesus. We're to rejoice. Acts 5. I know I'm kind of going through a whole lot here, but Acts 5. Let's start in verse 40. Several of the disciples, they're preaching the gospel. They're brought before a council. Some people are saying, I think we need to kill them. Someone says, no, let's don't kill them. You know, they're fellow Jews. By the way, these are the religious community. And finally, one person says, you know, let's let them go. Verse 40, so they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, it was all of them, they flogged them. What does flog mean? Beat them. And ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for His name. How do you like that? You know, they say, oh man, my back hurts. You know, why did we do that? How can we do this in a more secret way? No, they weren't doing that. They were rejoicing. Oh, praise the Lord. We got to suffer for His name today. That's what they were doing. And then, did they stop? No. Verse 42, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. That was their response to persecution. They rejoiced. They recognized that they were blessed. They were fulfilling their calling. And when we are persecuted, our reward in heaven is great. We are called to love our enemies, and that includes we're to pray for them, including those who persecute us. And many places in the Scriptures, we're not going to go there right now, but we're told to pray for and love our enemies. Okay, now that's one level of persecution that all of us are going to experience if we are living godly. There's another level of persecution, and that is when a government or some institutional religion starts persecuting Christians. Does that happen? Yes, it does. It's in varying degrees. Sometimes good jobs or education are denied. Sometimes it's just little hassles. Sometimes they'll go in and disrupt meetings. Sometimes it's going to prison. Sometimes it's getting kicked out of towns and countries. Sometimes it means being killed. Often, persecution comes from some type of organized religion. Today, one of the most common is Islam, or at least a certain part of Islam. Obviously, there's a demonic edge to that. Many Christians today live in areas where the government or some ruling religion is involved in organized persecution. Let's take a look at a map. Okay, we already have it here. Okay, you can see extreme persecution, severe, moderate, sparse. By the way, in my lifetime, that's changed a lot. When I first started seeing this map, Russia, Eastern Europe, was some of the big leaders. Africa, at least except for the northern part, wasn't too much. I can remember when Mexico, especially because of Chiapas, it was kind of in that last category. So this kind of changes because the enemy is persecuting people around. Something I've noticed, or something I kind of did, I started adding up the population of the people who live in these areas. Almost 60% of the world's population lives in an area where the church is persecuted. Over half. That's why we're talking about this today. You know, 60%. Let's take a look at the list of the countries. North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Iraq. By the way, that's even after the U.S. has been into Afghanistan and Iraq. They're still up there. Some countries, China is number 37. It used to be way up there. I think at one time it was like one or two. So there's maybe some good news. But you can see there's quite a few countries of the world. Right? You can kind of take a look at that. You know, you can look at this online. You know, here's a few things we should know about the persecuted church. First of all, there's not a lot of shallow Christians among them. I wonder why. You know, there's not anyone who's kind of a Christian one day and not a Christian another day, depending on who they're with their friends. Usually, they're committed to Jesus Christ. You know, in China, back when it was number one and number two, one of the things the government was trying to stamp out Christianity in the world's largest, most populous country. So they would actually have people who would try to go to meetings that would be secret agents. They were fake Christians on purpose to kind of see who the Christians were. So they would have to go through a little training where they'd have to kind of learn some Bible verses, some of the Christian lingo, and they would kind of go. And what they would do, they would kind of mark out, oh, Magali's here. Oh, her daughter Brianna, Shuri and Adriana. They'd go to the police. Next couple of days, Magali and Brianna are getting a visit from the, you know, the Red Guard in China. So, you know what they did? And this happened in a lot of places. They decided, how can we, you know, we want to reach out to people. How do we do it? So one of the things that they would do is they would say, listen, next week when we meet, we're not going to tell you where to meet. You've got to ask God, and He will show you where we're meeting. That way, the fake Christians, they wouldn't be able to come. You know, they could say, they could guess, maybe at the train station, maybe out in the field. They were always wrong. They're pretty committed Christians, right? They knew how to pray. How to listen, Lord? A second thing, and this is kind of amazing. Everyone who is visited with Christians of the persecuted church, the thing that they always come back and say, they're full of joy. They're always rejoicing. You think, wait a minute, but they're being persecuted. They're rejoicing, just like the scriptures say. That's hard for us to comprehend, isn't it? And we get so upset. Oh, there's someone at work that's kind of making fun of me. There's someone at school. Wait a minute. Maybe we need to kind of start rejoicing more. Another thing about the persecuted church. They have a heavenly focus, not an earthly focus. They know they have eternal life. They're looking forward to it because it's going to be a much better life. They're not afraid of death. How about us in the West? You know, we do everything we can to avoid death, to postpone it. You know, kind of afraid of death. You're not real sure about it. Don't really talk about it too much. With the persecuted church, it's a reality. Most of them know people who have died for their faith. And they rejoice because they're with Jesus. Another thing, the persecuted church, Christians in the persecuted church, they don't understand the church in the West. And especially their obsession with material wealth. They can't understand our getting excited and our passion and desire to kind of collect more things, and that's sometimes stronger than our passion and desire for Jesus. They can't understand that. And that should put us to shame. Things that we get excited about, we can even come here on Sunday. Hey, I got a brand new car. Now, I'm not. If anyone got a brand new car this week, that's great. I rejoice with you. But I'm just using this as an example. Hey, come on out. Let me take a look at it. Listen to it. Kind of purrs, doesn't it? You know, we get excited about that. And okay, that's good. But if we're more excited about that than our love for Jesus, then something is wrong. That's the persecuted church. Now, they're not a perfect church. There's often a lack of teaching, a lack of Bibles. There's a lack of experienced teachers. But we can learn from them a lot. We need to learn from them. And by the way, there are ways that we can help them. We can pray for them. We can put pressure on governments to kind of relieve some of the persecution. We can, in some places, we can bring in Bibles and other materials where they're very sparse. Now you might say, why should we be praying for them if they're blessed? Maybe we should just pray the persecution keeps coming. No, because it's at 1 o'clock.
They insist to Jennifer that they have this at noon. They're insisting that we get out.
Okay.
I'm going to go talk to them right now.
Okay, great. Okay, there's a group that's supposed to be in here at 1. They're insisting they have it at 12, so that's what we're trying. Do you have the number of the lady at the community center? Why don't you call and just double check with that, okay? Because we just want to, if not, we'll be persecuted. Jesus said. No, we'll. Okay, so we'll do it. Okay, so anyway, we'll call and kind of find out what's going on there, okay? Okay. Why pray for them if they're blessed? Because there's a spiritual battle going on. Satan has something to do with persecution too. God allows it to prune us, to purify us, to purify our love for Him. But Satan also wants to use it to what? To somehow, to make us quit, to discourage us, to blame God, to get bitter. We lose our witness. And that's what Satan wants. And so we need to be praying for the persecuted church that they remain strong. And also, we're called to rejoice with those who rejoice. And what? Weep with those who weep. You know? And I think we need to remember that at the end of the age, would that be in our lifetime? A lot of people think it will be. It may be in our children's lifetime if it's not in ours. But at the end of the age, we will probably all be in the persecuted church. So it's important for us to have sympathy with them and to pray for them and to support them whatever we can. Now, persecution is different in every one of those countries. Last month, we talked about what's happening in Syria and about the refugee situation. It's getting worse. There are now 13 million people who are displaced in Syria. That means they've lost their homes. That's like about six Denver metropolitan areas been moved out of their home. Christians There are Christians there. It's a small church. They're caught in the middle because the government doesn't like them. But guess what? Some of the rebels are extreme jihadists. And they have pledged, if they take over, they're going to take every Christian and cut them in pieces. So, Christians, you know, what are they to do? You know, some of them have left. Some of them are relocated to refugee camps and are preaching the gospel there. Others have stayed because they can't do anything. Maybe they're wounded. Others have decided to stay to be a witness. This is just in the last couple months. Yeah, this is one that just came out. There's two men, Samer and Lena. That's probably not their real names. They're leaders in an evangelical church. And a church in Europe offered to sponsor their relocation and to move them to Europe, provide housing, give all their living essentials, and to even give private schooling to their kids. But they spent some time fasting and praying, and they decided God wanted them to stay there to preach the gospel to people who are confused. And they have been threatened that if you stay here, we're going to kill you. But they've said, you know what? There's some people being called out of Syria. We feel called to stay in Syria. Can you believe that? We need to pray for people like that. Another article here. It's talking about, there's a young man, he has a wife and a small child. One of the things he's doing is he's passing out Bibles to people in Damascus. Damascus, a biblical city. Remember on the way to Damascus is where what? Saul met Jesus. But anyway, this man, all of a sudden his church, a real small church, they didn't hear from him one day. Tried calling his cell phone. His wife did. No answer. About 2 hours later, the cell phone was cut off. Panic kind of seized the wife and people in their church. What has happened? Well, what happened was some of the secret police from the government, not the jihadists, but the government, asked, what is he doing? He said, I'm sharing the good news, the Bible with people. And by the way, Jennifer, Bobby, have we heard anything? What's that? Okay.
They want to get in, but they're being polite.
Yeah, okay, great. Perfect. Okay, great. Praise God. Okay, good. Okay, so anyway, this guy, the police told him, you can't do that. You're crazy. And he listened to him, and then he walked away, walked across the street, started giving more Bibles out. Well, the police went, put a black bag over his head, took him to prison, put him in a prison where there's a bunch of this extreme jihadist. They said, what are you doing here for? He said, I'm passing out Bibles. And he got to share the gospel with them. Well, 2 days later, he went through, was kind of questioned by kind of a high police. And he just said, listen, this is the good news. It talks about loving your enemies. It talks about praying for your government. And the guy was moved. And he said, I tell you what, I'm going to let you go. But he said, here's my phone number. If you ever need some help, give me a call. And he took it, went back home. Everyone rejoiced. He told what happened. Next morning, what did he do? Got his sack, filled it with Bibles, and went right back on the street. A lot of people were saying, yeah, maybe you're okay right now with the secret police, but what about the bad guys? He said, people need to hear Jesus. So this is what's happening in the persecuted church.